Father, have your way with all of us. We desire to know you more, to just be in your presence while we're here. No distractions, just seeking you, seeking your face. Father, you know the heart of every man out here today. You know their needs, their struggles, their trials, their triumphs. Father, we just pray that we would all have open hearts for the changes you want to make, that we would be broken to those changes, that we would just, again, move aside so you could have your way. Father, we thank you for this day, for this event, for bringing us all here together, getting us here safely. You are so good to us. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And it's in your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may all be seated. We're going to invite Pastor Mark up to give this morning's devotional. You can clap for him.
Good morning, man. I just noticed I was holding my water bottle down on the front of my shorts and the condensation got on my shorts. So it's from the bottled water, guys. Hey, what a privilege to be here with you. I am the assistant pastor at Calvary Chapel Brandon, and I bring greetings to you from Calvary Chapel Brandon and my pastor, Pastor Mark. He's also, we're both Marks, and it gets kind of confusing around there. But we have a big construction project going on there, and we felt like someone should stay behind. And he insisted that I came here, and I'm very grateful for that. Grateful for the opportunity to stand before you and share the word this morning. It feels kind of weird being the first one this weekend to share with you, but I am very honored to be here and to have a small part in what we're doing this weekend. So if you would turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. And, you know, I've been working on my Ken Graves voice, and, you know, I wanted this voice that would just boom through the woods, you know, and this is all I got, so we'll stick with it. Numbers chapter 13, we're going to kind of review and set up our context here. As you know the history of the children of Israel. They've been delivered from Egypt. They've seen God's mighty hand at work, directing them step by step. They've come to the promised land, not a picture of heaven for us, but a picture for you and I of us receiving all of God's promises, us living that abundant life, being all that God has called us to be. You know, this may be the first event like this that some of you have ever been to. Maybe you've never heard that God has a tremendous plan for you, for your life. Let me start out this weekend just by saying that He has so much for us to do, so much ground for us to take, so many places, spiritually speaking, for us to go that we have never been. And may this be the weekend that that journey begins for you. Maybe some of you here, you know God has a plan for your life, but there are things in your life that are preventing you from living that abundant life. We're going to talk about some of those things this morning, but here we see the children of Israel on the border of the promised land. They are now in this place called Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh meaning holy, Barnea meaning son of wandering. And many times we find ourselves right in between those two positions, set apart, used by God, or wandering in the wilderness, somewhere in between there. Either living out the promises of God, living the abundant life, being all that God has called us to be, anywhere from doing that and experiencing the abundant life to being frustrated and dried and withered and struggling in our walk. And I believe that if we would be honest with ourselves this morning, we would all say that in some areas we're all falling short. In some areas we are all struggling. You know, Paul tells us in Ephesians that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. They're all ours. Based on the work of the cross, they are our birthright. We have access to all the spiritual blessings that God can offer. But how many of us this morning can truthfully say, I'm living it out. I'm walking in all those promises. I've claimed all of them. I'm where God wants me to be. And I would say that if we were honest, none of us could say that. Well, this historical account that we're going to look at, many Bible teachers call it the longest funeral march ever recorded because, as you know, Caleb and Joshua are the only two that enter into the promised land. All the others perish. And the sad thing is, Deuteronomy tells us that this journey was an 11-day journey. They got there in 11 days. And the Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, says, you've dwelt here long enough. It's now time to go take the land. And I think for many of us today, He's telling us, my son, you've lived here too long. You've wandered too long. It's time to move forward and press on and to take the land. We look at verse 1 there. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am given to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Father, we just want to bow our hearts, Lord, at this time. We ask, God, that you would speak to us. And Lord, I pray that even through my weakness, Lord, that you would use me. Lord, encourage these men, I pray. Strengthen us all. And Lord, help us, Father, to lay hold of all that you have for us this morning and this weekend. Lord, may we be walking in the fullness of life. Lord, receiving that abundant life that you intended for us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us in that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we get the impression here, and understandably, that it was God that told the people to send out these spies. And we need to make some clarification there, because as we know in Calvary Chapel, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And the truth is, in our life, listen, none of these things surprise God. You know that. He doesn't cringe when we face a difficult moment or when something happens in our life. He doesn't need spies to go out. And really, if you think about it, it would be like you and I saying, you know, I know that my marriage can be better, and I'm going to send someone, or I'm going to look at that marriage and see if that's something that I want to do. No, we know that God wants us to have a blessed marriage. A marriage that honors Him is a picture of Christ in the church. So why were they sending out these spies? In Deuteronomy chapter 1, it also gives clarification on that, because the Lord said, every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way which we should go up. So what is God doing here? Well, He's condescending to the people. This was the people's request, and sometimes the only way we learn is when God gives us what we ask for, isn't it? I think when we look at past elections and how things have gone, that certainly is God giving us what we deserve and what we have asked for. But if we look in Psalm 106, it says, speaking of the children of Israel, they soon forgot His works. They did not wait for His counsel, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. They tested God in the desert, and He gave them their requests, but He sent leanness to their soul. Again, many of us this morning are experiencing that leanness. You're dry, you're parched, you're fruitless. It doesn't have to be that way. But if we make our own decisions, if we follow our own plans, that's how it's going to be. It's going to be leanness to our soul. But if we pursue God and His perfect will, if we follow hard after Him, He'll give us fullness in our soul. He'll give us the abundant life. So I think this morning we need to ask, are we settling for less than what God has for us? We need to look at our own selves, evaluate and determine and make a decision this weekend what we are going to do. Are we going to fully follow the Lord? Are we going to pursue all that He has for us this morning? So if you look in verse 4, they send out the spies. I'm not going to read every name there, but obviously two to remember, you know, are Caleb and Joshua. But they are determined to do things their own way, to go through with this plan. And it says there in verse 17, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes, so they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. So the people are determined at this time. They send the spies, and this type of determination has to do, it's more of a stubbornness. It's a stubbornness. And I can tell you, in counseling people, there's nothing that grieves God anymore than is someone who is settled in their stubbornness. They're determined to do things their own way. When you give them counsel from God's word, they're determined to do it their own way. And this is what we see here with the people. I have a new grandbaby. She's almost 1 year old. So grandbabies are amazing. But you see how stubbornness is in the heart of man through a child. And many times people coming in for counseling, I mean, they're just like children, you know. And a couple comes in for marriage counseling, and they're arguing, they're not getting along, and usually it's because pride and stubbornness has taken hold of them. They're determined to be right. They're going to follow through with their plan no matter what. At this point, the children of Israel, they've made their decision, and nothing's going to stop them. They set their plan in motion, and it says there that they went up in verse 22 through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Shishiah, Talmai, and the descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. So we see there that there were giants in the land. Hebron means fellowship or communion. But you know, the time that we experience the sweetest communion with our Lord sometimes is when we're facing our giants. When we're facing difficulties, when our marriage is struggling, when things are not going the way we thought they were going to go, because we learn to lean on Jesus more in those times. We grow in our understanding of knowing that there's no one, there's nothing that's going to help me through this situation other than Jesus. I need to lean in hard on Him. And it's during those difficult times where we experience some of the sweetest communion with our Lord. It says there in verse 23, then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report in the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." Then we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So some things I want to look at that is preventing them from entering into the land and will prevent you and I from entering into all that God has for you and I. First of all, we see that they lack a proper perspective. They lack the proper perspective. Perspective is how we view things. It's how we look at things. It's how we perceive things. And the key to having a proper perspective is being a man of the Word. It's being in God's Word every day, receiving from Him in our personal quiet time and allowing the Word to wash us and to renew our minds. If you're not in the Word every day, guys, what are you doing? You need to be in the Word. That's how our minds are renewed. That's how we maintain a proper perspective on things. And how do we know that there was no longer a proper perspective? Well, first of all, they were no longer trusting in God's promises. They had forgotten God's promises. If you notice, they're no longer calling the land the promised land. They're calling it the land where you sent us, Moses. You brought us here. And so they've forgotten the promises of God, but our refusal to claim God's promises has no effect on the promise, because all His promises are yes and amen. Number two, now we see that they are magnifying their problems. As they said in verse 32, they're now saying that all the people are people of great stature. They're all giants. And that begins to happen, you know, when we are in a difficult situation, we're not in the Word, our mind's not being renewed, we get discouraged, we have a crisis in faith, and then we begin to magnify everything in our situation, including how our spouse is acting toward us. Well, she does that all the time, you know. I'm guilty of that myself, but it's easy to start thinking that, you know, even God can't handle my problems because my problem's too big. Nobody's ever experienced what I'm dealing with, you know. It's easy to think that. You remember in Judges when they were going over the land and how the children of Israel failed to drive out the inhabitants. And you remember it said that some of them would not drive them out because they had chariots of iron. And so it was as if they had discovered some new thing that God could not defeat. But the fact is, God had done a greater work before that. He had defeated the Egyptian army who had chariots of iron. He's going to defeat other armies that had chariots of iron. But now they're beginning to speak and extremes. We can't handle this, you know, we can't deal with them because they have chariots of iron. And I think for each one of us, we must be careful, because there's times where we feel like there's something in our life that's like a chariot of iron. We begin to magnify it in our own mind, thinking that God can't handle it. Well, I know He delivered me from this one thing, but this other thing, this is just too much. God cannot deliver me from this one thing. And then we begin to keep it as a regular part of our life and say, well, that's just my iron chariot. God can't deal with that. Number three, we see now that they're viewing this battle as not the Lord's battle, but their own battle. And Listen, I think it's important to remember that since we belong to Him, our battles belong to Him. You know, it said that they felt like grasshoppers in the land there, but Isaiah 40 and 22 said all the inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers to God. See, there's a proper perspective. Listen, I can't go up against the enemy and defeat him on my own, but my enemy is no match for my God. We must remember that. You remember in 2 Kings when Elisha and his servant was surrounded by the Syrian army, and you know, Elisha's servant was like, what are we going to do? You know, what's going to happen? And Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be open, and he saw a multitude of horses and chariots of fire. And men, that's what we need this morning. We need the eyes of Jesus to have proper perspective, to see things as he sees them, to know that the battle belongs to him. It's not our battle. It's not your battle this morning. Turn it over. Give it to Jesus. Let him handle it. So they lacked a proper perspective, but they also lacked boldness. Boldness is the desire and the determination to accomplish something, to do something in the face of fear, in the face of difficulty, and in the face of, you know, things falling around you and not going well. It's not an absence of fear. You know, fear can be a good thing if it doesn't control us. But we must have boldness and determination in the face of fear. I remember, for me, as when I was a younger guy a few years ago, the first time I rebuked an older person who was in the wrong. It took some boldness. It was difficult. I'm pretty sure my voice cracked whenever I did it. But the Lord blessed it. He gave me the boldness that I needed. And I want to encourage, especially our younger guys here, man, learn to be bold at a young age, guys. Learn to be bold at a young age. We need that more than ever in our culture, as we see, as things continue to change and Jesus is going to be coming soon. Things are just getting crazy in our culture with, you know, the attempt to redefine marriage and the killing of millions of unborn babies and on, the feminization of our young men and the trying to redefine gender and all this other stuff. We need men who are going to be bold and stand up for the truth. I think of the apostles of the New Testament. After they were filled with the Spirit, they had a boldness. And Peter stood before that crowd and preached the gospel to them, a boldness that he didn't have before the filling of the Spirit. So the key to having a proper perspective is to be a man of the Word and receive the Word. The key to having boldness is being filled with the Spirit. We must be filled with the Spirit. And it's all for the asking. I want to jump to Numbers chapter 20 really quick, and we'll be winding up here in a few minutes. Numbers chapter 20. Beginning with verse 2, it says, "Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, 'If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink.' So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals.' So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." So Moses, greatly used by God, next to Jesus, maybe the greatest leader mankind has ever known, and now unable to enter into the promised land, unable to enter into the promises that God had for him. A lack of disobedience will prevent us from living the abundant life. A lack of disobedience will prevent us from entering into being all that God has for us. And listen, disobedience has ruined many families, many ministries. Yes, even within the Calvary Chapel movement, disobedience will ruin careers and on and on. And on. Listen, guys, God is serious about sin in our life. He's serious about disobedience. Be done with those things. Moses, a picture of the law, couldn't bring the people into rest. Joshua, a picture of Christ, able to bring people into the land, able to bring the people into rest. And you remember the Lord took Moses up on the mountain and told him, said, "You can look out and you can see the promised land, but you'll not be able to enter in. You'll not be able to take the people in." Is that you this morning? Are you looking from a distance and seeing the promised land from a distance? Are you looking from a distance and seeing how God is using other men, how God is blessing other marriages, how God is empowering men and using them in great ways, and you just kind of look from a distance because there's things in your life that's preventing you from entering in. You see the fruit in their life and you wish, man, I just would love to be used like that. You see marriages who are bringing honor to God, and marriage who's a picture of Christ in the church, and you think, wow, I would love to have a marriage like that. And it's possible. We must be done with the things that are preventing us from claiming all of God's promises, and done with the things that's preventing us from entering into our own personal promised land. God is telling you this morning, you've been living here too long. You've been wandering in the wilderness too long. And for some of you, there are wives who are back home who are crying out to God for you, praying that when you leave this place and go back home to the marriage, that you'll be a different man. Do you want to be used by God? Do you want to live the abundant life, or do you want to do your own thing and make your own decisions and follow your own plan and live with leanness in your soul? It's up to us. God gives us that option. But then there's Caleb. Caleb had the proper perspective. He knew that it was God who was going to fight for them. He had the boldness to stand in the face of all this pressure from the people and not back down. It says that he wholly, fully followed the Lord. And it's an awesome thing because Caleb was a man living by faith. He grew to an old age. And Judges, again, where it talks about their inability to drive out the inhabitants of the land, right in the middle of all the failure of Judges chapter 1, it brings up Caleb. It says that they gave Hebron to Caleb, and it says he expelled from there the three sons of Anak, the Giants. He faced the Giants and he drove them out. The guys that the other 10 spies were fearful of and said, we can't do this. Caleb said, yes, we can. And he drove them out and he took possession of Hebron and he had sweet communion with the Lord. And interesting, I'd love to see how that went down with Caleb entering into the land and driving out the giants. But what an example to us is Caleb, determined to finish well, wholly following the Lord. I love the seniors at our church. I have the privilege of overseeing the seniors' ministry. And when I tell them I'm praying for you or ask them, how can I pray for you? One of the things that is most common is they say, pray that I'll finish well. And I see these great saints who have been following Jesus longer than I've been alive, serving the Lord. And even to this day, with all their health issues and all their unique circumstances, they're serving the Lord and they're such a blessing to our fellowship. They got their own section, you know. It's really cool to see them. They come in and they got all their walkers and things are lined up there, and it's really encouraging. They say, pray that I'll finish well. I have a dear friend I haven't seen in a few years. His name's Bob. I grew up with his daughters. We were good friends. And Bob has faced just unspeakable challenges in his life. I remember it was around 86, 85, 86. Bob's son, Bobby, was on his way to airplane mechanics school, was crossing the Howard Franklin Bridge there in Tampa, and fell asleep with all of his extra work hours and going to school, and drove his car underneath the back of a tractor trailer, was killed instantly. In fact, Bobby was driving a car that had belonged to my wife. We had sold them the car. And so Bobby was killed instantly in that car. And I remember Bob telling me the next day what he did to continue. He said he got up, he made a cup of coffee, he picked up his Bible, he walked out on the front porch as he had done every day for years before that. He held his Bible up in the air and he looked up into the sky and he said, Lord, here I am. I'm going to need you. Help me through this. Throughout the years, Bob's daughters, both daughters, had tremendous health issues. They're still living, but have lived with health issues. Bob's wife had severe heart disease, and she is now with the Lord. But one of the last times I saw Bob, we ran into him at Brandon Mall. I said, Bob, I'm praying for you. His eyes began to tear up. His voice trembling, he said, Mark, pray that I finish well. What an encouragement to me to see this real life Caleb with the proper perspective. He was a man of boldness. I remember it was nothing for Bob to pull into someone's yard and walk into their yard as they were doing yard work and share the gospel with them. In fact, he stopped by Pastor Pete Randall's house one time. Pete was out in the yard. Pete was our youth pastor for a while. He's planted a church in Edmonton. And Bob stopped by Pete's yard as Pete was out there working in the yard and tried to share the gospel. And he said, hey, I'm a Christian. And so that's how they met. But Bob had boldness for the Lord. What an example to us. Man, may we all be Caleb's. With the proper perspective to know that our battles belong to the Lord. And man, you're talking about man up. Caleb was a guy that even in an old age, he manned up, didn't he? It's time for us this weekend to to man up. I just want to take a few minutes just to pray these things in, right where you're at, right where you're sitting. We don't have to have any music or anything, no invitation. Just turn to a brother and just pray. And one thing this does is there's a little bit of accountability, because I want you, each one, to pray for your own self and recommit yourself to the Lord. And just say, Lord, I'm ready to enter in to all that you have for me. I'm done with the wandering and living with the leanness of soul. I want to live the abundant life, and I want everything that you have for me. So we'll take a few minutes. Just turn to one another and pray. Offer yourself up to the Lord once again after I pray, and then Jeremy is going to come back up here. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your word. And God, I pray for each one in here this morning, every single one of us, God, that you would help us, Lord, to just fully follow you as Caleb. Lord, that we would enter into our own personal promised land, that we would receive all the promises that you have for us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have the proper perspective. Help us, Lord, to be men of boldness. Help us, Lord, to walk in obedience in the newness of life. And Lord, guide us, we pray. Bless our time. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.